ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादा सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितं च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। तप्तकाञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 82, Text 36. Rohini Devaki Chatha
Rohini Devaki Chatha
Parisvajya Vrajeshwarim
Parisvajya Vrajeshwarim
Smarantyo Tatkritam Maitrim
Smarantyo Tatkritam Maitrim
Baspa कन्थयौ समुचतुः रोहिणी देवकी चाथ परिस्वज्य व्रजेश्वरीम् स्मरन्त्यौ तत्कृतं मैत्रीम् बाष्पाकन्थ्यौ समुचतुः रोहिणी देवकी चाथ परिस्वज्य व्रजेश्वरीम् स्मरन्त्यौ तत्कृतं मैत्रीम् बाष्पाकन्थ्यौ समुचतुः रोहिणी रोहिणी देवकी देवकी च एंड अथा नेक्स्ट परिस्वज्य एम्ब्रेसिंग व्रज ईश्वरीम द क्वीन ऑफ व्रज यशोदा स्मरन्त्यौ रिमेम्बरिंग तत् By her, Kritam, done, Maitrim, friendship, Baspa, tears, Kanthyau, in whose throats, Samuchatu, they addressed her. Translation by the disciples of His Holiness A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Then Rohini and Devaki both embraced the queen of Vraja, remembering the faithful friendship she had shown them. Their throats choking with tears, they addressed her as follows. Please repeat the translation. Then Rohini and Devaki both embraced the queen of Vraja, remembering the faithful friendship she had shown them. Their throats choking with tears, they addressed her as follows. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
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 హరే కృష్ణ. Please bear with me for the next 45 minutes. I am the standby for Krishna Gaja Prabhu, who gave me a surprise instruction yesterday that all of you have to bear with me today. So for his pleasure, please bear with me. So we are in the 82nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the 10th canto. We are also nearing the culmination of the canto 10. As all of you sitting here know very well, Canto 10 is the summum bonum of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The highest philosophy of Krishna consciousness comes down, in a sense, in the 10th canto. So whatever we have learnt in the other cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, everything culminates in the learnings of Canto 10 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this chapter, which is Krishna meets the inhabitants of Vrindavan, essentially the context is that the Yadus as well as the kings, they have assembled at Kurukshetra to witness the solar eclipse and also to exchange pastimes of Lord Krishna. So on one hand they have arrived, on the other hand, who has arrived? The Vrajavasis have also arrived, the other Vrajavasis like Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mayi, along with all the gopis, the cowherd girls, they have all arrived there in Kurukshetra. So, if you see the theme of this chapter, there are a lot of transcendental mellows which are being exchanged in this entire chapter. These transcendental mellows are also called as rasa, ras, R-A-S, rasa. Lot of this rasa is being exchanged by so many of these personalities who have assembled there. There are transcendental exchanges which are happening on one hand between the members of the Yadu dynasty and the kings. They are greeting each other, hugging and embracing one another. On the other hand, there are transcendental exchanges which are happening between Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj and Lord Krishna, Nandalal. That is on one hand, that is happening. And on the other hand, what is also going to happen now, very shortly, is that there is going to be an exchange between the gopis as well as Lord Krishna, in confidence, in a secluded place. So, the 10th canto itself is full of rasa. And this chapter is again the rasa of all rasas. All kinds of rasas are being exchanged. On one hand we see the Dasya ras, then there is Vatsalya ras, there is Madhurya ras. So many things are being witnessed in this chapter. In Srimad Bhagavatam, at the very beginning, the Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 3, there is a very interesting verse. Many of you may be knowing that verse. Unfortunately it was not part of key memory verses for us in Bhakti Vaibhava, so I did not buy out this verse. But then I could recollect this verse because Keshav Prabhu repeats this verse very often in the class. The verse is as follows: Nigama kalpato galitam phalam sukha mukadamrita dravya samyutam pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhu raho rasika bhuvi bhavikam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is being referred to in this verse as rasamalayam. What is the meaning of rasamalayam? Rasamalayam means that Srimad Bhagavatam is so much full of rasa or nectar that it attracts even those personalities who are completely free of all material desires. It attracts even liberated souls. It only does not only attracts conditioned souls, but a person who has completely stopped his material activities, even to such a person, the activities of Lord Krishna, the pastimes of Lord Krishna, the transcendental mellows which are mentioned here, attract such a person as well. So, just like sometimes, you know, when we drink a juice, towards the end, the juice gets sometimes a bit more sweeter, right? Especially when the sugar is not mixed. But of course, that's a mundane analogy. But here, just like the juice becomes sweeter and sweeter towards the end, as we near the culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam, and as we proceed towards the end of Canto 10, again the rasa becomes sweeter and sweeter. And as I mentioned earlier, Srimad Bhagavatam is called as Rasamalayam. There is a famous verse also which we have, which most of us will know here, the famous Atmarama verse. Atmaramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Api Urukrame Purvanti Ahetukim Bhaktim Iktam Bhuta Gunohari. So in this Atmarama verse, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was his favorite verse, he was telling Rupa Goswami or Sanatan Goswami, in teachings of Lord Chaitanya Prabhupada mentions, he keeps on mentioning this verse. Mahaprabhu tells the Goswamis that this Srimad Bhagavatam is, the pastimes of Lord Krishna is very attractive even for the liberated souls, even for the Atmaramas who are completely free of all material desires. So the fact that Srimad Bhagavatam is Rasamalayam is coming across time and again in these chapters. Taking a step back towards the Vedas, now as most of us are aware, the Vedas, now in this verse itself it says Nigama Kalpa Taror Galitam Phalam. So the Vedas are compared to a desire tree. Okay. Why it is compared to a desire tree? Because the Vedas contain everything and anything that is knowable to man. The Vedas basically talk about two subject matters. You can just split it into two. One end it talks about sustenance and one end talks about upliftment. Okay. So the Vedas has got many branches, like the Vedas has got the Arthashastra, the way of the economics, and the Veda has got Ayurveda. Okay. So many things, subject matters, just for sustenance, to keep the body and the soul together. On the other hand, the Vedas does not restrict at this, but it also talks about upliftment. When I mean upliftment, the Vedas point out to us that we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. And gradually it gives us the various messages and instructions so that people are elevated from an animalistic consciousness and gradually pushed towards self-realization. So these are the two objectives of the Vedas. So because Vedas cater to these two objectives, Vedas compulsively have to speak about the mundane necessities of life as well, in addition to subject matters of spiritual realization. However, the Srimad Bhagavatam is slightly on a higher platform. It is a summum bonum. From the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutra has come. And then the summum bonum of the Vedas and Sutras, as you say, take a mango and then just take the rust out of that mango. So Srimad Bhagavatam does not deal with all these mundane subject matters which Vedas deal with. Okay? It directly comes to the point. And what is the point? There are two points which the Srimad Bhagavatam wishes to establish. The first point is, the Srimad Bhagavatam clearly established in the very first verse, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Lord Krishna and none other is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no doubt about it. Very first verse, bang on target. So that is the first objective of the Vedas, of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the second objective of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Srimad Bhagavatam says that not only is Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is also the absolute truth. What do you mean by the absolute truth? The absolute truth means that Lord Krishna is the reservoir of all spiritual tastes and rasas. So, Srimad Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. So, let's spend some time discussing what is this rasa all about and what are the various dimensions of rasa and how this rasa can be cultivated by all of us sitting in this room. So in his purport to the verse, which I just quoted, Nigama Kalpataro Galitam Phalam, this verse, Srila Prabhupada says that every living being, right from Lord Brahma to the insignificant ant, desires to relish some sort of taste coming out of sense perception. Now, these sensual pleasures is what Prabhupada describes are technically called as rasas. And Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain in his purport that there are 12 such types of rasas which are existent. One is Raudra Rasa, the rasa of anger, Then there is Adbhuta Rasa, wonder. Then there is Shringara, which is conjugal rasa. Then there is Hasya, which is jocular rasa. Then there is Veera, which is chivalry. Then we have Daya, mercy, compassion. Then we have Dasya, servitorship. Then we have Sakhyaras, pertaining to fraternity. Then we have Bhayanakras, which is pertaining to horror. Then we have Bibhatsa, which is shock. Then we have Shantaras, which is passive. And then we have passive adoration, Shantaras. And then we have Vatsalya, which pertains to betterment. Now Srila Prabhupada mentioned his purport that the summa bonum of all these rasas, the sum total of all these rasas together can be called as affection or love. So when in our scriptures it talks about affection or love, it is nothing but these rasas which are being spoken about. Now Prabhupada says further that this love, the summum bonum, whatever this love is, this is manifest altogether in five mukhya rasas. There are 12, but there are five mukhya rasas. So these five mukhya rasas manifest as moods throughout the Bhagavatam. So what are the five principal moods? One is the mood of adoration. Then we have the mood of service, the mood of friendship, the mood of paternal affection, and the mood of conjugal love. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya and Madhurya. These are the five principal rasas out of all these 12. And Prabhupada goes on to say in that verse, in the purport, that when these five rasas are absent, then the other rasas are manifesting in that place. And Prabhupada gives an example of daily life example, that when a man and woman are very much in love with one another, especially during the initial stages, before marriage, when a man and woman are very much in love and not fighting, okay, at that time the full expression of conjugal love occurs. Okay. There are sweet nothings. Okay. You don't have to say anything, but it is said. All those things. Many of us who have gone through that phase maybe may know by personal experience. But then later on what happens? The situation becomes disturbed. Okay. And when this situation of pure conjugal love becomes disturbed, then the rasa manifests in several other ways, like raudra rasa, anger, shock, and so on and so forth. I'm not saying Prabhupada is saying this in the purports. So that is one point Srila Prabhupada makes. The other point Prabhupada makes is that this rasa can be exchanged only by members who belong to the same species. Okay. Unfortunately, there is frustration in this world. Therefore, human beings are trying to explore and experience this rasa with animals. In this country specifically, you know, with dogs, people are trying to experience this rasa because they don't know where to experience this rasa. So it is said, Prabhupada says that it is not possible for a human being to exchange this rasa with members of any other species. And Prabhupada goes on to say that the spirit soul is qualitatively one with the Lord. Achintya Bheda Bheda. Qualitatively we are one with the Lord. Therefore, this rasa can be perfectly and fully experienced only with the Lord Himself. Because we are part and parcels of the Lord. So same species. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is therefore the fountainhead of all rasas. Therefore, He is also called as Rasaraj. The other point Srila Prabhupada makes in his conclusion is that one, when one associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in one's constitutional rasa. All of us have a constitutional rasa which we have forgotten because we are covered by the material energy. So when one associates in his original constitutional rasa with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the feeling that comes from there, that is what is called as eternal happiness, the highest happiness. But in material existence, this rasa is experienced only in the perverted form. That's what Prabhupada says. And whatever rasa that we experience here in this material world is also temporary in nature. Prabhupada says that we don't even remember what is the original form. Okay. So we are so ignorant that we can't even distinguish what is the original and what is the word that is called as adulterated rasa. We cannot even distinguish. A person who has always is always used to adulterated, for example, fruit juices, he will never be able to know what is the original fruit juice. Right? So therefore we have forgotten, because we are just used to the adulterated rasas. Therefore, Lord Krishna has manifested himself as the Srimad Bhagavatam. After his departure, Krishna Swadhama Upagate Dharma Jnana Adivi Saha Kalava Hashta Dashamesha Purana Artha Adhuna Uditaha. Therefore, after Lord Krishna has departed, has wound up his pastimes in this material world, he left the Srimad Bhagavatam for us to understand what is the difference between the original pure rasa and what is this perverted rasa that we are currently entangled into. Now, the special characteristic of 10th canto, okay, over all other cantos, is that it offers us a good mix and blend of all these types of rasas. And it also offers us various permutations and combinations of these rasas. For example, we have seen few cantos back that we talked about Maharaja Yudhishthira and the Rajasuya sacrifice. So we saw quite a bit of Dasya rasa prevalent there, with some amount of Sakya rasa, which is there, because Maharaja Yudhishthira had some amount of Sakya friendship with Lord Krishna, but predominantly his mood was still Dasya, unlike Arjuna. Then gradually from the Rajasuya sacrifice, as we went along in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we came to the point of the pastimes of Sudama with Lord Krishna, which was predominantly Sakya rasa. Mostly Sakya rasa was prevalent there. And now, as we arrive at the culmination of the 10th canto, the mood then goes into the next higher rasa, that is Vatsalya rasa. Okay, so currently we are talking about how Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai are meeting Lord Krishna. That is Vatsalya rasa at its highest. And then, just few texts down the line, we are going to witness Madhurya rasa, how the gopis are meeting Lord Krishna at a secluded place, and what is their transcendental lamentation to Lord Krishna. In the Jaiva Dharma, which many of you know is a treatise by His Holiness Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the Jaiva Dharma offers us a very fundamental and a deep understanding of the various kinds of these rasas. Especially the chapters from chapter 26 to chapter 30 gradually takes us into the various types of rasas. The beauty about the exposition of Bhakti Vinod Thakur is that Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur gives the parameters which differentiate one rasa from the other rasas. On what parameters do I actually differentiate one rasa from the other rasas? So he has given some 8 parameters. Okay. I'll just read out those 8 parameters. The first parameter is the vishaya, or the object of love. How one rasa differs from another rasa. Okay. Sometimes the vishaya, the object of love, is the same. Okay. Like in this case, talking about in the specific context of Vatsalya rasa, the vishaya or object of love is Lord Krishna himself. Then the second parameter, which Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains in Jaiva Dharma, is ashraya. So first is vishaya, the object of love, then the ashraya. Ashraya is the reservoir of love, or the lover. When we talk about vishaya, we are talking about the loved. But when we are talking about ashraya, we are talking about the lover. Okay. So who is the lover in Vatsalya rasa? Bhakti Vinod Thakur mentions that in Vatsalya rasa, Krishna is the vishaya and the lover, the ashraya, is the elder relatives and the superiors. Now, this ashraya keeps on changing from rasa to rasa. The third parameter he talks about is sharira. Sharira means the body. The body of Lord Krishna also changes as the rasa changes. For example, in Narsingadev's body is totally different from the body of Lord Krishna in Vatsalya rasa. Contradicting. Okay, here, the body of Lord Krishna in Vatsalya rasa is described as dark and handsome. Then, the fourth parameter is guna. So, we talked about vishaya, ashraya, sharira and guna. Guna means qualities. In Vatsalya rasa, what qualities does Lord Krishna show? Like in Narasimha Avatar, we know what qualities Lord Krishna shows. Here, in Vatsalya rasa, it's quite the opposite. Lord Krishna is all virtue, okay. Gentle, pleasing speaker, honest, sincere, he is shy. In this rasa, Lord Krishna is shy. He is humble, he is respectful and generous. So So we see that immediately when he sees Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, all these qualities are manifesting him. Out of his respectfulness, he tries to pay obeisances to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. So these are guna. Then the fifth parameter is uddipanas. Vishaya, ashraya, sharira, guna and uddipanas. Uddipanas talks about the impetus for that particular rasa. Every rasa, there is an impetus, there is a boost. For people who are in that rasa, they get impetus from something. So what is the impetus for people who are in Vatsalya rasa? The impetus is simply the age of Lord Krishna. Kaumara, that is the impetus. Not only the age, but the form of Krishna because of that age. The garments that he wears, the restlessness that he shows. Okay. For example, you know, in Damodar Ashtakam we say that Lord Krishna's eyes are very restless. He is very chanchal. He is trying to see what mischief can I do next. So this is the impetus for people who are in Vatsalas. They are attracted to this form of Krishna. The jokes which he cracks and the pastimes which he performs specifically in this mode. So this is called as uddipanas. This is the fifth parameter. The sixth parameter is anubhavas. Anubhavas means the activities which are performed in Vatsalya Ras which generate ecstasy, ecstatic activities. So what are the activities which a person in typically in Vatsalya Ras performs? The activities are mentioned here as smelling the head of Lord Krishna, massaging the limbs of Lord Krishna, offering blessings to Lord Krishna. Normally we take blessings from Lord Krishna, but in Vatsalya Ras the devotee offers blessings to Lord Krishna. The devotee orders Lord Krishna. He is ordering. Okay. Yashoda Mata is ordering. Okay, stay there. Don't move now. Don't come and steal the butter. I am churning. Don't disturb me now. Ordering Lord Krishna. Protecting Lord Krishna. Not seeking protection from Lord Krishna. Oh Krishna, please protect me. No, not like that. Protecting Lord Krishna. So Yashoda Mai is always worrying. What will happen to my Lord Krishna? He is going to the forest. My small Nandalala. There are so many demons, there are so many thorns, his feet is so soft. So she wants to always protect him. So she's telling all the cowherd boys, please don't leave him alone anywhere, be with him. So this is the mood. Then giving advice to Lord Krishna, then kissing Lord Krishna, hugging Lord Krishna and calling Lord Krishna by various names full of transcendental mellow. Okay. So the hugging aspect is again coming here. When Lord Krishna is trying to pay obeisance to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai, we see that even before he could pay obeisances, they have already hugged them very tightly. So this is Vatsalya Ras at its best. So this is talking about anubhavas, as I was saying, the activities which are performed in ecstasy. These are the activities. Then it talks about sattvikas. Having performed these activities, what are the ecstatic symptoms that manifest in a devotee who is in pure Vatsalya Rasa? The symptoms are, two symptoms are there which are very predominant in Vatsalya Rasa. The first symptom is milk flowing from the breast. That is one symptom, and the other symptom is that of getting stunned when you see Lord Krishna. If the gopis also, if you see, they are also stunned. But specifically, you know, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are also stunned when they see Lord Krishna in this form. So that is about sattvikas. And then finally, the last parameter, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is the sthayi bhavas. Sthayi bhava means the primary mood on which the entire mood depends on. Everything else comes from this primary mood of the sthayi bhava. So what is sthayi bhava of Vatsalya Rasa? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that Vatsalya Rasa, the sthayi bhava is that one is in the mood of mercy and love and completely free from awe and reverence of the Lord. There is no trace of Aishwarya of the Lord. There is only Madhurya. There is no awe and reverence. Nothing like, oh, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I am your servant. No. This mood is absent in Vatsalya Rasa as well as Madhuri Rasa. Okay. So these are eight parameters. Vishaya, object of love, ashraya, reservoir of love or the love or the lover, sharira, the body, the guna, the qualities of Lord Krishna, uddipanas, the impetus, anubhavas, the activities which are done in ecstasy, sattvikas, the ecstatic symptoms which manifest because of these activities, and sthayi bhava, which is the primary mood based on which these whole activities are going on. So the primary mood, as I said, is completely free from awe and reveration of the awe and veneration of the Lord. So let us spend some time on this sthayi bhava now. Now Prabhupada says that within these Mukhya Rasas, which is Vatsalya and Madhurya Rasas, okay, they are further special, Prabhupada says, because they are completely, there is complete forgetfulness of any Vedic etiquettes. In these rasas, there are no place for Vedic etiquettes and rules and regulations. There is complete forgetfulness of the Godhood of God. Now, while there are so many personalities present in these pastimes, if we see in Vatsalya Rasa, like Devaki is also there in this pastime, then Kunti Maharani is there, Vasudev is there, and Nanda and Yashoda Mai are also there. But Prabhupada says in his purport that Nanda and Yashoda Mai are the best amongst the devotees in Vatsalya Rasa, though all others are also present over there. Okay. Why? Because they are Sthayi Bhava, which means their forgetfulness of the godliness of Krishna is much higher than what it is there for the other personalities who are present in this pastime. So thus we see here that both Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai are hugging Krishna even before he falls down at their feet and pays obeisance, which is the usual Vedic culture. But here we see that the Vedic culture is not there. In the very introduction of Srimad Bhagavatam, okay, this is a very interesting point. When you open the Srimad Bhagavatam, when anyone starts to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, normally one starts with the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam. The first canto, introduction. The very first line, Srila Prabhupada opens it very beautifully. Srila Prabhupada opens it with the statement saying that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the concept of God and the concept of the Absolute Truth, are not on the same level. It's a wonderful statement Srila Prabhupada made. It completely clears our fundamentals. Srila Prabhupada says that when you say God, it talks about the God as a controller. God, okay, he's a controller, he's creator, he's annihilator, and I am subordinate to him. That is the personality of Godhead. Whereas when Prabhupada says that when we talk about the absolute truth, then it not only encompasses God in his godly nature, but it indicates the summum bonum of that personality. And what is that summum bonum? Prabhupada says at the end of the day, the summum bonum is that Lord Krishna, though he is the cause of all causes, though he is the supreme controller, though he is the supreme proprietor, but he is also the supreme enjoyer. He is simply at the end of the day a cowherd boy who has nothing to do with creation, maintenance or annihilation. He has nothing to do with these activities. He is a simple cowherd boy enjoying loving transcendental pastimes with the Vrajavasis like Nanda Maharaja, Yashoda Mai and the Gopis. Therefore, the 10th canto has also been aptly named as the Summum Bonum. Now, these Vrajavasis worship and realize God not in his ordinary aspect as the creator or the controller of the universe. They don't worship in that mood. Nor do they worship Lord in the mood that Lord, you are the merciful bestower of all boons, or you are the dispenser of justice. They have no such concepts of Lord Krishna. Therefore, they understand God in his highest aspect of sweetness and love, which is called as Madhurya. Now, in this Madhurya mode, the Lord himself does not fret and frown over the imperfections of his devotees. For example, in Pancharatrika Vidhi, we see that so many rules and regulations are given. Okay, don't offer anything with your left hand. Always, you know, be suchi when you enter the altar. You know, take those three tirthas and then, you know, pay achamanam, purify yourself with om nam, you know, namo bhagavate vasudeva. So many mantras that we say, right? And then we, you know, offer food in this manner and so on and so forth. So many rules and regulations. Okay, and therefore, quite a lot of perfection is expected by practitioners of Pancharatrika Vidhi. Whereas here we say that in this mood, in the highest aspect of sweetness of the Lord does not fret and frown over our faults and our frailties, our weaknesses. But rather, he loves and adores us despite all these frailties if we love him. Now that is where there is a big bold underlined font. If we love him, as long as we have developed pure love for Godhead and he knows that we love him, then he oversees all our weaknesses. And Prabhupada says that in Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati, in that verse, Tadaham Bhakti Upahritam Asnami Prayatatmana. Bhakti. So Lord says, offer me a leaf, fruit, flower or water and I will accept it provided you offer it with bhakti. There has to be unadulterated love, pure devotion, then I will accept it. Even if there are any other faults, I will oversee it, I will overlook it, if there is bhakti component prevalent. So in this mode where God has forgotten his own godliness and the devotees are also forgotten his godliness, he seeks us as much as we seek him. He wants us as much as we want him. And he loves us as much as we love him. In this mode, the Lord is more natural than supernatural. If you see the initial cantos of the Lord is coming as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Sirodakshaya Vishnu. The Lord Brahma is going down the stem. He cannot find the Lord. Then he is appearing from somewhere saying, Tapa, do austerities. He comes with four hands. He blesses Lord Brahma. And all from his breathing pores, the universes are created. So much of Aishwarya is there. And the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, these chapters are exactly the opposite. There is no trace of the supernatural abilities of the Lord. Here, the Lord is at his natural best. And his pastimes, therefore, here are more human than they are superhuman. Okay, earlier pastimes were superhuman, now it is more human. These pastimes, therefore, are called as Nara-like pastimes. N-A-R-A, Nara-like pastimes. Pastimes are more like an ordinary human being. In fact, when we were reading in our Bhakti Vaibhav class, when we were reading the pastimes of Varahadev, the appearance of Varahadev, when Lord Varaha came out as a boar from the nostril of Lord Brahma, okay, and then all the sages are offering prayers to Varahadev, though actually a boar or a pig is an abominable creature, and the Lord is appearing in that form, in the most abominable form of a boar, but the sages are worshipping that Lord and saying that, oh Lord, after the Lord dives into the ocean to lift the planet, his body is fully wet, and then just like a boar, a pig, does shakes its body vigorously and water is flying out everywhere, so Lord also shakes like that and is trying to throw off the water from his body, and that water is coming on the bodies of all the sages. These sages have perfected the art of yoga and they perfected the art of bhakti. And obviously, when you can imagine the standards, the cleanliness standards of these sages, right? Now, a boar's water is touching them. So even these sages are praying to the Lord saying that, yes, a boar is an abominable creature, but we know that this is not an ordinary boar. My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have manifested in this form. Therefore, the water which has touched you right now and falling on us can only purify us. It cannot contaminate us. Okay, so Prabhupada explained in his purports that it is very difficult for somebody, for a non-devotee or for a materialist, to understand this incarnation of the Lord, the boar incarnation, that the Lord can come even in such abominable forms. But Prabhupada concludes that verse by saying a further point. He says, but more difficult to understand than this boar incarnation of the Lord is to understand the Nara-like pastimes of the Lord. More difficult to understand for non-devotees is not, even sometimes they may understand this boar incarnation because there is some amount of Aishwarya or opulence or extraordinariness in a boar incarnation, but what people cannot simply understand is Lord Krishna simply coming and performing pastimes like a very normal person, a Nara-like pastime. Prabhupada mentions that point in his purport. So here when you see in these sections of Lord Krishna is performing more human-like pastimes rather than superhuman. He has all the failings and the weaknesses of humans. He's very vulnerable in front of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai and all the gopis. He's very vulnerable. No trace of Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it is said that the paradox here is that despite all this vulnerability, all these failings or vulnerabilities itself act as embellishments to his sweetness. If the Lord were not so vulnerable, he wouldn't be so sweet. His pastimes wouldn't be so sweet for us. So, the weaknesses which the Lord exhibits here, the vulnerability which the Lord exhibits in these pastimes, stem from pure love which the Lord has for his devotees. they do not stem from some inherent weaknesses or limitations that the Lord has got in Himself. After all, who are we talking about? We are talking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Purnamadam, Purnamidam. He is totally complete and perfect. How can He have any weaknesses? But still, He exhibits these weaknesses for us. And these weaknesses are nothing but a manifestation of His love. But for these weaknesses, the transcendental exchanges between Him and His devotees in this Vatsala Rasa and Madhura Rasa are simply not possible. And these, so, but the Mayavadis, Prabhupada says, don't understand this. They think that these weaknesses are imposed by the Lord because of material nature. So that is their stupidity. So therefore, the Mayavadis do not have access to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. They just cannot understand what is going on here. So Prabhupada said, there would be no sweetness to these pastimes had these weaknesses not been there. Example, despite being the master of the universe, it is said in Isopanishad, Isavashyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena tyakena vundita magrata kasya sudhanam. It is said that the Lord is the owner and proprietor of everything animate as well as inanimate. So everything belongs to Him. Whereas here we see that this, no, on obviously then if He wants milk and butter, all He has to do is just say milk and butter, He has to think and then He is having milk and butter. But here what is He doing? He is showing a weakness, He is showing a frailty to steal that milk and butter. This is exactly what gives pleasure to the milkmaids of Raja. Though He can, you know, have a lot of milk and butter Himself, He doesn't want to use His Shakti for that. He just wants to go and steal from that particular pot from the Rajavasis. And also in the Damodarashtakam there is an interesting verse which says that the Lord is, you know, when Mother Yashoda is chasing Him with a whipping stick, He is showing lot of fear. That fear is not mere affectation. The Lord is actually afraid of Mother Yashoda. He puts Himself in that situation. He covers Himself with Yogmaya to such an extent that He is actually afraid of Mother Yashoda's whipping stick. As much as, you know, my son Aditya is afraid of my wife. He runs away whenever she comes to feed him. So like that, this mood is very prevalent in these sections of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now why are these pastimes so sweet to us? It is explained that this sweetness is heightened. More and more sweetness comes simply because the Lord's Aishwarya or godliness is eclipsed to such an extent. The Lord's godliness is covered to such an extent that He Himself forgets that He is Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is why these pastimes become very sweet. So the Sammam Bonam, when the Sammam Bonam, it is said, 10th canto, called as the Sammam Bonam, it implies that the highest devotion, the highest devotional aspect of love or priti is only possible when neither Krishna nor His devotees are conscious of His divinity. And we understand this aspect of Lord Krishna only by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Text 4, Chapter 4, Text 63, the Lord says, I am Bhakta Paradina. What do you mean by Bhakta Paradina? The Lord says that I am completely dependent on the will of my pure devotees to such an extent, I subordinate themselves to such an extent, I come under the clutches of the love of my pure devotee that I have myself no freedom. The Lord gives us free will, but He completely loses His free will under the clutches of His devotee, pure devotee. So we need to understand, there is a caveat. When we are talking about all this, that the Lord completely loses His freedom, He comes under the control, complete control of His devotees, we have to understand that all these aspects of Lord Krishna only refer to Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. They do not relate to Lord Krishna in Mathura or in Dwaraka. In Mathura and Dwaraka, there are some traces of His Godhood or of His Aishwarya. Whereas in Madhurya, in Vrindavan, that is completely absent. Okay. Therefore, we find that for a person who is coming from outside of Vrindavan, it is impossible for such a person to think of Krishna as a simple cowherd boy having a peacock feather on his head with flute in his hand. It's impossible. Okay. Therefore, when we see in this pastime, Mother Devaki is simply not able to understand what is happening between Yashoda and Krishna. She is not able to understand that mood. Okay. She is going on asking, talking something with Mother Yashoda, and Mother Yashoda is in such ecstasy, she is not even responding to Devaki. And Devaki is not able to understand this. People from outside of Vrindavan cannot understand the mood of Vrajavasi, though they may come from Mathura or Dwaraka, because the mood of Vrindavan is very special. And the vice versa is also true. The reverse of this is also true. In Madhya Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kavinath Goswami Maharaj is commenting that Radharani also cannot understand this aspect of Krishna. What is this? This Lord Krishna is coming. He looks like a prince or something like that. He, you know, a king, the lot of people, entourage. He is having a huge amount of followers. This is not my Krishna, she is thinking. She just cannot accept Lord Krishna in this form. For her, Lord Krishna is simply her lover boy. So we have this. So one has to understand this philosophy. Only then will we understand what is the essence of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya that we all belong to. The whole point in our sadhana is for us to be able to understand this aspect of Lord Krishna, and also to be able to individually develop this rasa with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the whole point of our sampradaya. Okay, and that is what the highest teaching which Prabhupada gave it to us. Okay. Now the question is, can we attain this rasa? Can we get into this mood wherein we forget the Godhood of God? Can we attain that? Srila Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion says, yes, we can attain this mood. How can it be done? In Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions that this mood can only be developed by practice of Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga. Raganuga Bhakti means, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti means sadhana which is done with spontaneous love for Lord Krishna. With disregard or with no regard for scriptural rules and regulations. You have to be very careful when we understand this word disregard. Let me qualify what I am trying to say here. So, Srila Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion, yes, we can also attain this provided we go through Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, which is one of the components of the Sadhana Bhakti. The other component is Vaidhi Bhakti, as all of us know. And this Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is usually practiced by the devotees of Vraja. Now, therefore, can we start practicing Raganuga Bhakti from tomorrow? That's the next question. Obviously, you know, hearing all this, one may be very motivated. But Sri Rupa Goswami gives a caveat. You want this? Wait. You're not yet ready. So he says that Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti needs a natural state of composure. A natural state of composure. It's very nicely worded. It needs a natural state of composure which will not manifest in us, that composure, if our mind is not free from material distractions. As long as lust, anger, pride, greed, envy is there in our heart, and we are not simple-minded, this Raganuga will never manifest in our hearts. If we continue to remain complex personalities, this, forget about developing Madhurya Rasa or Vatsalya Rasa. It's not possible. We don't have access to this Rasa. The Lord also says in Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika Buddhir Ekeha Kurunandana Bahu Shaka Yanantascha Buddhaya Vyavasayana. Bahu Shaka. Shaka means branch. Bahu means many. The intelligence is many branch. Sometimes the mind is running here, sometimes the mind is running there. Therefore, in such a state of mind, we cannot have the natural state of composure which Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti demands. Therefore, is there no hope for us? No. There is hope for us. Only time is separating us from that. So what should we do? What is the process that one should follow to be able to develop that Raganuga Sadhana mode or the Ragatmika mode? What is it that we need to do? So Rupa Goswami explains that for people whose mind is many branched, who have not attained that state of composure, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is prescribed in the initial stages. What is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti? Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is that Sadhana Bhakti which, for which the impetus comes from the scriptural rules and regulations. The Bhakti is not spontaneous. Because we have to chant 16 number of rounds, why are you chanting? Prabhupada told that their minimum section are, or I have taken a vow to chant during my initiation, I cannot displease my guru. So therefore, these are all regard for scriptural rules and regulations. So this is Vaidhi Bhakti. So this Vaidhi Bhakti by in itself cannot take us to that platform. Whereas this bhakti, Vaidhi Bhakti is necessary to lay the foundation to bring us to that natural state of composure which is needed for Raghavendra Sadhana Bhakti. Okay? And this Vaidhi Bhakti requires us to follow a lot of external observances. What are those external observances? Sri Murti worship, deity worship. This is one very essential aspect of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Partaking of Mahaprasada. This is again a very essential component of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Chanting a minimum fixed number of rounds in a day. This is a component of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Okay. It is said that by following the rules and regulations of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we can divert our mind, which is going here and there, from the object of the senses and then bring it back to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And as we perfect ourselves in the process of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, what happens is, we automatically over a period of time reignite the spontaneous Raganuga which is there inside our heart. That Ragatmika Bhava is inside our heart. Prabhupada says, spirit soul by default is pure. So it is there. By following this Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we are only rekindling that. And we are becoming aware that yes, it is there inside my heart. And now, love for Krishna is coming spontaneously. And it is not that after 16 rounds, we are throwing our bead bag with relief, saying that chanting ho gaya. No, not like that. So, once the spark is reignited, then there is no necessity. It's said, once the spark is reignited, but the spark has to be reignited within the heart. Once it is reignited, then in that condition, there is no need to observe external rules and regulations. But till the time that the spark is reignited, we have to observe the external rules and regulations. Okay. So, it is explained that devotion or bhakti is a function of the soul. It is a characteristic of the soul. So, when this devotion is aroused from the soul, from within, then the activities of the body as well as the senses automatically become regulated by the activities of the soul. Right now what is happening, we are using our mind, body and intelligence more than bhakti coming right from the core depths of the soul. But when bhakti is coming from the core depth of the soul, then the body need not be engaged in rules and regulations. Because it's automatically coming. It will automatically happen that the body and the senses will be dragged towards Krishna service only. Okay. Therefore, in such a situation, then we need not artificially follow the rules and regulations of the Shastras. Therefore, it is said that Raganuga's bhakti is devoid of the scriptural rules and regulations. So, we have to understand this very carefully. Otherwise, we may make aparadhas in our services. Now it is said, this transgression of the scriptural rules and regulations in Raganuga, when one reaches that mood, this transgression is not voluntary. One does not voluntarily say, no, I am going to now discard the scriptural rules and regulations. It's not voluntary, this transgression. But it is due to the natural state of bhakti that one gets into. Okay? Which is called as the Swarupa Shakti of the Lord or the internal energy of the Lord. So when one completely comes under the shelter of the internal energy of the Lord, then automatically one will find that one may not pay too much attention to the scriptural rules and injunctions. Okay. So what is the conclusion of all this? The conclusion is, again Srila Rupa Goswami points out in Nectar of Devotion, when Rupa Goswami is asked this question, what is Uttama Bhakti? What is pure devotion? He says, Anya Abhidashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anupulyena Krishna Anusilanam Bhakti Rutama. He said, in Rupa Goswami said, that pure devotion or Uttama Bhakti is one where there is no trace of jnana. You don't require all this knowledge of whatever the Vedas are giving or the scriptures are giving. This Uttama Bhakti is devoid of any jnana, and actually it does not even require cultivation of knowledge as one of its ingredients. Even in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, we see, you know, there are five components. Nowhere it is stressed very much that one should, you know, by heart all the shlokas or perform well, you know, in the Bhakti Shastri or Bhakti Vaibhav exams to be qualified. The top marks person will get, you know, love of Godhead. Nothing like that. Actually, ultimately, it has got nothing to do with jnana. Jnana is required in the initial stages, but at the end of the day, jnana automatically, you know, does not give impetus for pure devotion. So what is then needed? All that is needed is a simple heart. Simplicity is the key to pure devotion. If we are fully complex personalities, though we may be authorities in Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, love for Godhead will not manifest. So the purpose of all this jnana is to bring the soul to that point of simplicity. Otherwise, one cannot taste Raganuga. So I'll end up this session with two pastimes, with all of your permission. One is a Vraja pastime, and one is a pastime which has happened recently in ISKCON. Some of you must have already heard it. So please pardon me if you feel bored with this pastime because you have heard it. So the first pastime is a pastime which happened around 100-200 years ago. This happened in Vrindavan. Here it talks about, what is the theme of this pastime? Simplicity. Simplicity can take us to Krishna. So this pastime is in connection with one Sripad Nand Kishore Das Goswami Pad. Now Sripad Nand Kishore Das Goswami Pad was one of the acharyas. He was a saint who was living in a place called as Shringarvata in Vrindavan, in Rajadhani. Shringarvata. Has anyone heard this place? Shringarvata? So, Nand Kishore Goswami Maharaj was a devotee. Now, his background was that he was coming from a fairly wealthy family. But he had left all his wealth and he came to Vraja with two deities, Gaur Netra deities. And his whole lifetime he spent in Bhagavat Sharavanam and in Sri Murti Ashraya, in worshipping these Gaur Netra deities. Okay. Now, soon his fame spread all across Vraja as a Mahabhagavata. Okay, and he was giving so many classes in Bhagavatam classes. Now he had one assistant, this Nand Kishore Das Goswami Pada had one assistant whose name was Bondu. Okay. Bondu, normally in Hindi when we say Arey, kya Bondu hai? When we say someone Bondu, he will come to hit us. Try doing it in Bombay or Delhi. Okay. Bondu means what do you call it? Ulluka patta is, you know. Idiot. Actually, bondu means idiot. But actually, the meaning of the word bondu is simpleton. A person who doesn't know any worldly things. He is not cunning, he is not shrewd, he is not suave, he is not presenting himself. You know, he is just a very simple person, that's all. He is just as it is, bondu, simpleton. So, this Mahabhagavata, Sripad Nand Kishore Das Goswami Pada, had a disciple whose name also was Bondu. Now true to that name, Bondu was actually Bondu. Okay. Which means that he was such a simpleton that whatever somebody will tell him, he'll believe. Very naive kind of personality. Very simple at heart. So therefore, this Bondu, I mean, he doesn't know big things from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the creative impetus, the Uttaya and whatever the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. He doesn't know all that stuff. All he knows is his Guru Maharaj told him, you go to the forest and you tend the cows. So this Bondu's service was, he just did his service. He used to go and tend the cows every day. Right? And to tend the cows, he used to go to the Bandiravan forest, which is there in Vrindavan, in Rajabhumi. He used to go every day to the Bandiravan forest. So as he was going, one day he heard from some devotees that there is one boy whose name is Nandalal. And this boy comes daily there to Bandiravan forest along with his brother, okay, to tend the cows. So he heard this. When he heard this, he said, wow, daily I am going alone to tend the cows. How nice it will be if I can play with this Nandalala and his brother. And you know, all I will get so many friends in that forest. So gradually he kept on longing from within his heart that one day I want to meet this Nandalala and play with him. I am so bored. I want friendship. I want to develop friendship with this Nandalala. There was no scripture. There was nothing. Okay? There was just this intense desire for company of Nandalala. So with that, he started going there. So one day, as he went to the forest and he was tending his cows, suddenly two personalities appeared along with lot of people following them with cows. One was blue in color, another was white in color. Okay. So these two personalities came, and then Bondu, he
immediately recognized that this must be Nandalala. Because he has heard so many lectures and whatever. This must be Nandalala. So he asked, are you Nandalala? He said, yeah, Nandalala, this is my brother. So he had darshan. And then he says, can we play together? Oh yeah, why not? We can play together. So from that day onwards, Bondu and Nandalala and Balaram started playing together. Okay. Now, one day what happened? Bondu was leaving again for the Bandiravan forest on that day. Okay. So he was carrying some groceries with him. Okay. There is a popular dish in North India which is called as Dal Bati. Has anyone heard of this dish? Dal Bati? In fact, I think I know I had Dal Bati at Anand Munshi Prabhu's house. Priya Mataji made very nice Dal Bati. Okay. So, I tell you, it's very tasty. Okay. So, this Dal Bati, this Bondu, he was carrying some grocery. So, Acharya, Mahabhagwat, Sripad, Nandakishore Das Goswami Pada asked this Bondu, what are you carrying on your head? What is this grocery? Where are you taking it? Saying, I am taking it to the Bandiravan forest. Why are you taking this to the Bandiravan forest? I am going to make Dal Bati. For who? For yourself so much? No. For Nandala. Say, what? Nandala, Dal Bati you are going to make? What? Who is Nandalala? What Nandalala are you talking about? It's the same Nandalala who you talk about in your Bhagavatam classes daily. He said, what? Yeah. He says, you saw that Nandalala? He says, yes. How does he look like? So, he describes in very innocently, he's the same Nandalala, that fellow who you are talking about. He's having that blue body. He's having some yellow garment on his chest. And he usually comes with a flower garland, you know, on his neck. And then, there is a, you know, he's got a wonderful crown. Got a peacock feather on that crown, and then my God, he smiles so charming. Same Nandalala. So obviously our Mahabhagat, Sripad Nandakishore Das Goswami Pada, is shocked. Says, my God, for so many years, so much Bhagavatam, so much deity worship, and this Bondu has gone and seen that Lord who I am expecting and waiting to see so many years. So Sripad Nandakishore Das Goswami Pada, Guru Maharaj, he says, come here, go and tell that Nandalala of yours, and I would also like to meet him. Tell him, come tomorrow, my Guru is there, my Guru Maharaj, he will prepare nice Dal Bati for you. So invite him along with all his friends to our kutir here. So Bondu says, yes, Maharaj, I'll go there. He goes as usual. Again, you know, he goes into the forest. Nandalala is coming from there. Balaram is coming. And all the cowherd boys are coming from the other side. Okay. So, after playing, then Bondu tells Nandalala. Nandalala, by the way, you know, my Guru Maharaj, Sripada, he has called you. He has invited all of you tomorrow to come and have, you know, feast of Dal Bati in our place. So, please be there. He is telling Nandalala. So, Nandalala is shocked. He said, what? Coming out of Bandiravan forest? Forget it. I am not going to come to Sringarvat. It's not possible. Tell your Guru Maharaj that I cannot come. So Bondu says, how dare you don't come? How can you say that you can't come? My Guru Maharaj is calling you. So he says, no. Tell him that, you know, I cannot meet your Sripad and all that. I have nothing to do with your Guru Maharaj. I have nothing to do with your Sripad Goswami Pada and all. So Bondu immediately feels very sad. Tears start flowing from his eyes and he gets angry. And immediately he says, he starts separating his cows from the cows of Lord Krishna and Balaram. He says, forget it, I'm going away. He tells all his cows, come on, start walking now. And he starts walking away with his cows. So Lord Nandalala is telling him, what happened, why are you walking away? He says, I have nothing to do with you from today. I'm not going to play with you, because if you have nothing to do with my Guru Maharaj, I have nothing to do with you. That is the simplicity of heart of Bondu. Right? So when Lord Krishna sees this, he says, wait. But Bondu is in no mood to wait for the Lord. Because genuinely he is hurt. He is not pretending anything. From the core of his heart, he is hurt. How can the Lord insult my spiritual master? Okay. So he starts walking. And what happens? Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the supreme controller, the supreme proprietor, from whose pores multiple universes are coming out, that Lord, as Nandalala, is running after this Bondu. He is running and he He's holding his feet literally. He's crying and saying, "Don't go away, Bondu. Please don't go away. Don't go away. Whatever you want, I will do." Then Bondu stops. "Okay. So what do you want? What can you do for me? For my Guru Maharaj?" He says, Listen. Okay. Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead is reasoning with Bondu. He's saying, "Look, your place, Lingarwad, is a place, is a personal where Radharani performs her personal pastimes. Therefore, my brother Balaram, he is saying that he is not qualified to enter that place. He cannot come because it's a very personal vatika of Radharani. So he cannot enter that place. So if you call all of us, he will not come." So Bondu said, "Okay, fair. This logic is okay." Then Nandalala tells him, "You do one thing. You tell your Guru Maharaj that if he wants dal bati to make for me, let him come here and we'll prepare and we'll have him. Can he come here?" Okay. Bondu says, "Okay, this is acceptable. Okay. I'll bring my Guru Maharaj here." So Bondu goes and tells, "Nandalala has called him, Sripad Goswami Pada. Tomorrow you can come there and prepare dal bati for everyone." So then Sripad Nandakishore Das Goswami, Bhagavat Pada, he is going there and he goes there, and because of the mercy, the simplicity of his disciple, the Guru Maharaj gets darshan of Nandalala, Krishna and Balaram. And then Sripad Goswami Pada himself witnesses these two cowherd boys and all the Krishna and Balaram and all their cowherd boys, he witnesses the whole pastime. He spends qualitative time with Lord Krishna, and when the pastime gets over, the Lord again disappears. Now Bondu is very much used. He is unaffected. "Ah, Lord is disappeared, tomorrow he will come. So what?" He is so used to interacting with Lord Krishna now. Bondu is not affected. But Sripad Goswami Pada faints. He is unable to bear the separation. It's too much for him, because first time he has seen the Lord has gone away from his eyesight now. Right? So he falls and faints on the ground. And then Nandalala comes, wakes him up, and Nandalala in his voice, Shabda, he tells him, "Dear Acharya Sripada, don't be restless. Just go home. Okay? And spend your life in describing the places of my pastimes." And therefore, this same Sripad Nandakishore Das Goswami Pada goes back to Shringarwad and he writes two very famous books. Some of you must have heard. The first book which we wrote is Vrindavan Leelamrit. He is the author, same Sripad we are talking about, and Sri Rasakalika. These are two books which is Acharya. So therefore, we find here that with simplicity we can get darshan of the Lord and his association. Now, while this pastime is still a little bit far out for all of us, okay, we may say that fine, Bondu and Vrindavan, but we are not Rajavasis, we are just under ISKCON practicing Vaidhi Bhakti, so is it possible for us? That will be the next question. So I'll end with this last pastime, okay, which has happened recently, and it has happened within ISKCON, with someone who is just like all of us, just a little bit more advanced, that's all, in consciousness. This pastime has happened with one devotee whose name is Bhavasiddhidas in Mayapur. Now, as all of you know, that in Mayapur we have installed what is called as the Ugra Narsimha or the Sthanu Narsimha, right? Which is very fierce in personality, ready to jump and devour anyone who is not acting in the interest of the temple, right? So when this deity was installed in Sriram Mayapur, nobody dared to go and worship this deity, because already there was a big background. Even the sculptor who was going to carve out this deity of Sri Narsingadev, okay, he spent many months he was not sure whether he wanted to carve this deity at all, because Ugra Narsimha deity is not a joke. Ugra Narsimha worship means that one has to be a Naishtika Brahmachari. A Naishtika Brahmachari means not even a drop of semen should have got released since birth. That is a Naishtika Brahmachari. That is the standards of worshipping Ugra Narsimha. So the sculptor also was very, he was puzzled. So to cut a long pastime short, with great difficulty that finally the sculptor agreed, and then, the Lord manifested in Sridhar Mayapur, right? Now, when the Lord manifested in that fierce form, there were so many
devotees within ISKCON, like Jananivas Prabhu, Pankajagari Prabhu, all these people were there, but none of them were having the courage at that time to worship. And it seems His Holiness Jayaprakash Swami Maharaj spent quite a lot of time telling them, no, go ahead and worship Lord Narasingadev. And the logic given was, though it requires Naishthika Brahmachari, okay, to worship Lord Narasingadev, but still members within ISKCON, okay, they may not have been Naishthika Brahmacharis because of their past, but now they are Naishthika Brahmacharis. They are as good as Naishthika Brahmacharis because they know the Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangri Prabhu, all of us know that they are pure devotees. Okay, they have been serving the Lord for so many years. So Maharaj says that don't worry about this Naishthika Brahmachari and all these things, because at the end of the day, where has Lord Narasingadev manifested? In Sridham Mayapur. And who is the presiding deity of Sriman Sridham Mayapur? Gaur Nithai, right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. Okay. And what is their mood? Their mood is audarya or benevolence. They are very easily able to forget the sins, overlook the sins of someone, or overlook the past of someone. Okay. So therefore it is said that when a deity manifests in a particular place, the deity takes on the mood of the local presiding deity in that place. Therefore, they said that, okay, no doubt, go ahead and worship Guru Bindas. Go ahead and worship Lord Narasingadev. Okay. Still, there was fear, because the Lord Himself was so ferocious, there was still some fear. So, with great difficulty, they started worshipping the Lord. So, this devotee, Bhavasiddhi Prabhu, Bhavasiddhi Das, he was one of the worshippers, regular worshippers of that Lord Narasingadev. Every time he used to go near that Lord Narasingadev, he used to feel extremely scared. Okay. He should literally tremble. So one day when he was, you are doing Mangalarati in the morning, they offer to Lord Narasingadev at 4:30 in the morning, and Lord Narasingadev's eyes are fiery red. In that, for all of you who have been to Mayapur and seen, it's not easy to perceive that form of the Lord. So he is worshipping that in the early morning. And one day what happened? In the night time, when he had just finished worshipping Lord Narasingadev, and obviously he is always under fear. So he fell down and paid obeisances. Okay. And at that time he heard a loud thundering noise. So he just woke up and he was completely shivering. Okay. He found that everything was normal. There was nothing. So again he paid dandavas to the Lord and said, Lord, please forgive me if I have made any offenses to you. I am always afraid of you. Please forgive me. And then he shut the door and he came back to sleep. Now when he came back to sleep, he was sleeping with another pujari, okay, and they had a bunk bed. So this pujari was sleeping here, and then Bhavasiddhi Prabhu was sleeping on the top side of the bunk bed. So as he was sleeping, somewhere past midnight, the bunk bed suddenly started shaking. Okay, so he just woke up, and then he thought that the pujari below is shaking the whole thing because he wanted to wake him up for Mangalarati time. So he was saying wake up call was being given. So the pujari was there only, he was sleeping and the bunk bed was shaking. So when he turned around, he saw verily the Lord Narasingadev sitting on his bed. Lord Narasingadev sitting on his bed. When he saw this Lord Narasingadev, he was scared at its wit's end. He was trembling. And he was about to get up from jump from the bunk bed and run away from there. As he was about to get up and jump, Lord Narasingadev held him here on his shoulder and pushed him down. And he says, I felt that the weight of the entire universe was on my shoulder. Just two and said, shh, Shanti. And Lord Narasingadev explained, what is going on? I have come here simply to tell you that you need not fear me. Why are you so afraid of me? I am not going to do anything to you. So from now onwards, I just come to tell you that you need not fear me at all. Worship me without fear. Hari Bol. Lord Narasingadev immediately disappeared. But Bhavasiddhi Prabhu was so disturbed, so scared at that time, that he just left, jumped from the bed and he ran outside the door, and he was running helter-skelter in that floor. Okay. Finally, and he was, and devotees came out seeing him, and then they asked him what happened, and he was mumbling something very incoherently. He himself didn't know what he was talking, devotees didn't understand. They thought that he had gone mad or he was possessed by some devil or spirit or something. Okay. Finally, Bhavasiddhi Prabhu went and ran to the altar. Okay, and there he got some composure. He fell down in front of Lord Narasingadev, flat, and paid obeisances. And then, when he woke up and he was a bit composed,
he found that everyone was staring at him. So he was wondering, why is everyone staring at him? Until he realized that he was only in his underwear.
My God, so much for nothing and Darshan.
So the point here is, so his pastime, obviously he was so fortunate to have, Lord Narsingadev's darshan, he was a simple nature, right? So therefore, that is the moral of the story that we are presenting, that simplicity, by simplicity only, we can have darshan of Lord Krishna. That is the point that we are trying to emphasize with all these past times. Thank you for your patience. Sorry for running 10 minutes overboard.
Hare Krishna.
The Prabhupada ki.